Hello and welcome back to the Rebuild Podcast. My name is Gutty Notelovitz. I am your host today, and in kind of unfamiliar circumstances, I'm joined by just Ted Smith.
Not completely unfamiliar.
No.
Go back to the League Pass and Chill podcast. I think we had a semi-successful duo pod back then, mate.
I believe there was an emergency pod when, I think it was Porzingis went to Dallas. That might have been what the pod was.
The Porzingod.
And we came together and came up with something pretty special. But it's still weird looking over to where Harrison Pullinger usually sits to see an empty seat.
Yeah, the coach.
It's a bit like shampoo without the conditioner, you know?
Yeah.
When I look over across the table and I see you and Harrison together, everything makes sense.
I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, shampoo on your hair.
You could kind of take on the role of both. You know, you can get those two-in-ones.
True.
The shampoo and
true,
conditioner.
True, but really how much do we trust those things? Can it wash? Can it condition equally?
I think pharmaceutical companies are really high up there on my trust list, actually.
Is it pharmaceutical or is it marketing?
Mm.
Have you been duped by the sales pitch?
Probably. Probably.
I don't wash or condition, bro. So
not at all?
It
looks pretty schpick.
Yeah. Cheers, man. Cheers.
Maybe that's an attitude thing.
It has to be because I don't watch this much.
Goes on, and there'll be more ads tomorrow.
People listening to this podcast already have heard an ad, I dare say.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my
we apologise for that.
Oh, my God.
No, we don't. Okay, let's talk basketball.
Basketball.
Now, the last time we recorded a podcast, I do not believe the finals were set. In case you have been living under a rock, it is the Los Angeles Lakers against the Miami Heat, which
let's
is a weird sentence in let's 2020. But we're going to talk about it. There's plenty to talk about. There's LeBron and the Lakers playing for Kobe Bryant. There's LeBron against his former team. There's LeBron going after his fourth ring and what that means for his legacy.
Pat Riley versus his old flame.
Exactly. But we're going to start it out with Teddy telling us exactly what's going to happen in this series.
Oh, are we
in a
just
little what we like to call a, what do we call this again? A dramatic foretelling.
Yes, I'm glad you answered your own question.
I almost forgot.
All right, are we ready?
I haven't heard this, so maybe not.
Yeah, I did keep it dark. So I wanted a genuine reaction from Guardiola.
You'll get it.
Okay. Here we go. After the dust settled, it was easier to make sense of what just happened. It took seven games, but now, given what we know, it was never in doubt. The junk they fed us prior to the game was just that. It was junk. AD and LeBron will be the best two basketball players on the court. Yada, yada, yada. Playoff Rondo was rejuvenated, reanimated even, ready to rock and roll. But no, none of that would do. None of that could stop the heat that was coming their way. Miami's ensemble of free agent misfits and draft sliders wouldn't be there without their master and commander, Pat Riley. But his revenge tour was never going to be enough for his heat to get over his old flame. And sure, having a dragon and a hero always helps when you're trying to dethrone a king, but that wasn't it either. Bam! Did everything he needed to do in an effort to get Miami their fourth title, but he was not the linchpin. It was the unassuming Butler who did it. It was the chip on his shoulder that got his squad over the line. His mother didn't want him, kicked out at 13. The team that drafted him swapped him for a bag of beans. The Wolves and the Sixers couldn't see eye to eye with him either. But eventually, all of this was just fuel for the here and now, fuel for the belly of a champion, and it all makes sense. Nothing could have stopped him, not even a king.
Whew! That was, and I mean this, Teddy, aside from the podcast, screw the podcast, that was a sensational piece of writing.
Thank you, Guardiola.
You took me on a journey there, and I'm better for it.
This time 5 hours ago, I was freaking out. I could not get it done, but I was like, what do I want? I want Butler. I want Jimmy Butler to succeed. I want the grit and grind of his play to get the Heat over the line, over the flashy Lakers. And yeah.
Yeah, I guess your narrative would mean an upset, but in the grand scheme of things, if you're looking back at what this bubble has been, nothing has made sense. In fact, the only thing that does make sense is that LeBron James is in the NBA Finals, right?
Yeah. We've got half chaos, half what everyone predicted, right? Everyone put either the Lakers or the Clippers, given that the Clippers have been gone for 3 weeks now. The Lakers, no-brainer. Heat coming from fifth. It would have surprised everyone 6 weeks ago, but given what we've seen throughout the bubble, it's just a good story.
It's such a good story, and it's actually interesting. Like, I was trying to trace back how both of these teams kind of got here, and obviously we know the teams they beat. They're both 12-3 in the playoffs, but interestingly enough, they both really struggled in those seeding games. Both went 3-5 before the playoffs started. So it's not like they rocked up to the bubble and were these teams that were kind of instant title challengers the second they got there. They didn't take off necessarily very quickly, but they figured it out in the postseason. Now, as we said, the Lakers were a team that we expected to be in and around this conversation come this time. The Miami Heat, not so much. No. We've talked about it in previous weeks that this bubble has thrown up some things we didn't exactly see coming. We, first of all, didn't know how the lack of a home and away situation was going to affect the games. Now, I guess, and this is just kind of extrapolating out what we've seen, it seems as though the old cliche of you need a superstar to get to the end and you need your role players to perform and they only perform at home has all meant that that's all gone. The Heat are perfectly suited to this bubble environment. You look at their role players and you're taking out Jimmy and Bam because you're going to go, those are their two best players. You look at Dragic, you look at Tyler Herro, you look at Duncan Robinson, Jay Crowder, Kelly Olynyk, Iggy, the list goes on and on and on. And I think that's where this series really comes to a point. You're going, it's LeBron James and Anthony Davis versus the Miami Heat crew, a crew of role players.
Yeah. I mean, a team that doesn't go away either. The Heat were 10-2 when leading by double digits, but they were also 5-2 when they were down by double digits in the playoffs. So, like I said, the grit and grind of this team, that's what's appealing to me. And those stats there, that they show what I'm talking about, that they won't go away. And given the old legs of the Lakers, LeBron, 35, 36, Rondo, almost the same age, it's going to be interesting. And quick question, who do you think needs game one more out of Miami and the Heat? Miami and the Lakers, sorry.
I think I would say Miami, and I'd only say Miami because they haven't trailed at any point in this postseason so far. And I think because we haven't seen what they look like trailing in a series, it's just a variable that we don't know. I think they're quite comfortable trailing in games, as you clearly pointed out. But I don't know if you really want to give these Lakers a head start when you're talking about a guy like LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I would say the Heat taking game one would make more sense to me.
And you look back to the Lakers-Rockets opener of that series, how it almost looked like LeBron was just feeling out.
Same with game one against Portland.
Yeah.
Dropped that first game.
But I don't know if he'll be in a position to do that against the Heat. For those things we said, they won't go away. They've got fresher legs. There are some young players on the Lakers, but they're not in the conversation in terms of best 5, 6, 7, 8 players in this matchup. So, you know, I've been listening to some other podcasts. There's lots of comparisons out there comparing the Heat to the Pistons team, which I find offensive because I love this Heat team and that Pistons team. Not boring, but they too beat the juggernaut Lakers back in 2004. If it all goes well for the Heat, this could be one of the best NBA stories we've seen since maybe Dirk got it done over the old Miami Heat, the LeBron James Heat back in 2011.
I think an important discussion that hasn't really been had, or maybe I just haven't heard it being had, is that the Lakers at every point in this postseason have actually come up against teams who probably weren't ready for a team like the Lakers in terms of fatigue. and in terms of how much basketball they'd played and the intensity they'd played it out. You look at that first round series, Portland had come off 8 seeding games where every single game was a must-win game, where Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum were playing crazy minutes just to get Portland to the first round. They overcame them. Then they got to the Houston Rockets, who overcame the Oklahoma City in a 7-game series that pushed them all the way. Then they got to the Nuggets, who had come through 2 series where they'd had to come 3-1 down. Now, they've come against these teams who are obviously well-suited for a tough series, but I think fell off as the series went on and the Lakers were able to put each team away in 5. This is a Miami Heat team that has played hard every night for sure, but they've had their rest and they've got the youth to go with the experience, and they haven't had to play crazy minutes, and Jimmy Butler hasn't had to do absolutely everything like a superstar would with a roster that looks like this on paper. Everyone has stepped up when they've needed to step up. Look at this Heat roster, and it's a pretty tight rotation that Spoelstra plays, but you look through down the list and you can point to each player and go, that guy at least once has stepped up and been the difference in a playoff game.
I mean, Tyler's had his turn. Even Duncan Robinson has been big in spots. Even Crowder versus the Bucks
was huge.
Hit 6 threes
huge
in a game. And that's the thing. This Heat team have a bunch of dudes that can take a quarter, a half, or even a game away, like we saw Tyler Hero with the 37 points, where the Lakers, if they win, we know the narrative. LeBron James and AD, they dominate. But with this Heat team, that's what I mean. If they do get up, it's going to be so unpredictable. We won't be able to tell what's going to happen from here on out if the Heat win, because there's so many moving parts in that squad that can step up. But, you know, who's going to mark LeBron the most amount of times in this matchup? Is it Jimmy Butler? Is it Crowder? Is Iggy going to play big minutes just to try and stop
LeBron? Could throw Derek Jones Jr. on him if they wanted to. That's the thing about this Miami team, right? They've got, if you're looking at matchups and you're looking at guys that can potentially stop LeBron, it's stacked with guys that theoretically can slow him
down.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're talking about like the narrative of not knowing how a Miami Heat title would actually look. And I think for a lot of people who aren't LeBron fans or Lakers fans, that's the part that has everyone pulling for Miami, apart from the fact that they're underdogs. A Lakers win just kind of seems a bit boring at this point. With the chaos of the bubble and the upsets that we've seen, a Lakers win probably, as you said, just means that, yeah, okay, so they had the 2 best players in the series, both of whom are probably top 5 guys in the league. Of course they won.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty uninspiring end to a postseason that has been full of chaos from start to finish.
All our hopes and dreams will be quelled, right, if the Lakers win.
Yeah, because you look at the Heat, and if you're going, oh, if they won a title, who's finals MVP? And you're going, could be Jimmy, could be Bam, could be Goran Dragic.
Could be the Dragon, absolutely.
Could be Tyler Herro if he managed to continue that form into the finals. Could be anyone. And I think that's the really important thing. Looking at Jimmy Butler and the way his reputation has taken a bit of a turn here, I think if you look at who he was in Minnesota and you look at who he was in Philadelphia, the conversation a lot of the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, was this guy's a really good basketball player, but he treats guys around him as though he's better than he actually is because he demands so much of his teammates. And I guess in the general consensus and the way we view things, normally if you're that demanding, you're one of the best players in the league. And he is, but he hasn't never really been in that 1A superstar.
Miami are the first team to show that kind of faith in him, right? I'm pretty sure Chicago let him go because they were like, he can't be the face of the Chicago Bulls. Minnesota, they were like, well, he's good, but he ain't Wiggins, he ain't Cat. Philly, who really knows what went on there in terms of the dynamics between Ben, Butler. We know he got on well with him, Embiid, but it just seems like he's a my way or the highway guy. These guys on the Heat, they've bought in. And it shouldn't be too much of a shock. Remember, I think Dwayne Wade played a season with Jimmy in Chicago. The talk then, Dwayne Wade at that Chicago team, he was saying these guys, they either don't know how to win or they don't want to win. And he was basically comparing that Bulls team to what his whole career had been. And that is life in Miami with the Heat. And then Dwayne Wade, you know, he kind of let Jimmy know that if you want to ball out the way you want to ball out, if you want to bring other people with you, Miami's the place to be. And that's probably because of the GM and the coach, right? Like, who's a more fierce GM than Pat Riley?
Yeah. Right. And you look at that culture, and as you said, they've bought in. Obviously, Jimmy is top dog, which he hasn't been. He wasn't really in Minnesota, and he wasn't really in Philadelphia because the organization had pinned their hopes on other guys. But when he comes in and he says, "This is what I expect from you," it seems like every single Miami Heat player has bought in, and they have leadership all the way down their roster. Yes, Jimmy is the leader, but he's not the only leader. They've got Andre Iguodala, who provides an incredible amount of finals experience going into the series, some much-needed finals experience. You've got a guy like Udonis Haslem, who doesn't play basketball, but he's like another coach on the bench there. And then you've got that partnered with guys like Goran Dragic and Jay Crowder, who've been around the league for yonks. They've seen it all. They know the ins and outs of it, of everything. And you partner that with the youth that they've got, the super talented youth in Bam Adebayo and Tyler Herro. And this is a Heat roster that has just come to light in the bubble, really, just exploded. Obviously, we didn't see it coming, but it's just funny to look at a number one seed against a number five seed in the NBA Finals, given everything that we've seen in recent years, like the dominance of the Golden State Warriors, the dominance of LeBron in the East. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah. And going back to what you said close to the top of the podcast in terms of the Heat improving in this bubble, little stat here, during the regular season, they were the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like by a fair margin, they have been turning it on the most efficiently in the fourth quarter.
It feels silly sometimes at this point of the season to put a lot of things down to just effort and work ethic. But going through this postseason, it has just seemed like Miami have wanted it more than the teams they've come up against. And it'll be interesting to see how, I mean, we've spoken at length about the Miami Heat role players, but then you look at the Lakers, right? And you've got LeBron and AD, and they take the headlines as they should. And you look down that roster, and you kind of go, all right, well, who's going to be that third guy? Not necessarily for the whole series, but each game, who's going to be that third best player?
Who's going to be in the chat?
Yeah, and you got your Kyle Kuzmas. You got Danny Green, you got Rajon Rondo, you got Caruso, you've got some of the bigs. Can they run with Bam Adebayo? Are they going to be able to play? How do you view that kind of Lakers depth?
The same way as the rest of the NBA world, with a big question mark. Like, Rondo has really stepped up. Playoff Rondo looks like it's definitely a thing. Like,
yep.
That narrative's got a full stop. Playoff Rondo is a thing. Kyle Kuzma, maybe the most overrated player going around, like,
but like by his organization and no one else.
He's very lucky he landed in LA.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the buzz he gets on and off the court. But Danny Green, I think, is the one. I think he'll need to be big in one or two games. Just obviously they won't need that, but if Danny Green can be that guy, like he was in a couple of games he was kind of disappointing for Toronto last year as well in the playoffs. He wasn't the guy that he was in the Spurs.
It's been a while since he was that guy, I feel like, consistently. And
for example, sorry, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You could take Kelly Olynyk off the bench of the Heat and put him in Danny Green's spot. I don't know if there'd be much of a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the offensive output hasn't been great for Green, but it wouldn't be a shock if he stepped up. It'd be kind of annoying. but, yeah, I think Danny Green's a big one, and I think Rondo as well. But if you need Kyle Kuzma to step up and be big to win an NBA title, I don't think you're going to win said NBA title. That's my opinion.
It's interesting because, like, the discussion always with a LeBron James team, it works in like peaks and troughs with how we discuss the roster at the start. In the off season, it's often like, oh, they haven't done enough, which was the case leading into the season. Then they start well. You go, look at these guys all stepping up. They have their difficulties. Suddenly LeBron doesn't have enough help. But I feel like if you look at this postseason, yes, they've been impressive in how they've gone to the NBA Finals, but I still haven't been convinced by their role players. Like, I think it's hard to make the argument that there's been any sort of standout performer to the level of some of the Miami Heat players.
Rondo's the only guy that comes into mind. But that part of that is because of the surprise element that Rondo did step up.
Yeah. Right?
But yeah, he hasn't been a Dragic. He hasn't been a hero, you know. So yeah.
And look, some of that is opportunity, obviously. Hero and Dragic have the chance to be those guys because they don't have a LeBron or an Anthony Davis, for sure. But when it comes time for them to step up in the finals because the Heat figured out a system to slow LeBron down and slow Anthony Davis down, and you need your Danny Greens to make shots and you need your Kyle Kuzmas to make shots, that's when it's going to get interesting, when the pressure's on and it's on those guys who haven't really been called upon that many times in this postseason.
There's that three-point stat going around about the Lakers. If they shoot over 30% from three, they win. They've won every game that they've shot over 30%. And they should be able to get some shots if the Heat can bring that zone out again, which I'd say they will, right? There's going to be some shots for Kuzma, for Danny Green, but that's the thing. Can they hit them consistently? We'll see. We will see.
And then I guess looking at LeBron and the pressure that he's got on him, obviously this is a massive opportunity. And also, there's a lot of room for disaster here for him. I mean, as we've sort of discussed a little bit on this pod previously, the last few years, LeBron has not gone into an NBA Finals as the favorite. He's come up against uber-talented rosters where he was supposed to single-handedly bring his team to the finals and give them a chance at the title. Reasonably speaking, the last time he was the favorite going into an NBA Finals was when he was a Miami Heat player. He's going in against the number 5 seed Heat. He's the best player in the series. His running mate is the second best player in the series. He's got an opportunity to win a fourth ring, to win a fourth finals MVP. But with a loss, and you mentioned it earlier, that 2011 Dallas Mavericks team, which is the huge mark on his resume, which is the reason why he will probably never be considered as an
out-and-out GOAT.
Yeah, as a real challenger to that Michael Jordan number one throne. If the Miami Heat win, fairly or unfairly, that is going to look terrible on LeBron's resume.
3-7 in finals. So it's just going to be the snapback argument when someone says, but he made 10 finals, and you say, okay, but he lost 70% of them. That is a bit of an indictment. But like you said, when he was with that Cavs team going in the finals, he didn't have much help around him. It's always been the case outside of Miami, right? Like you look at LeBron's Cavs team, the last time the Cavs made the finals when they took on Toronto, right? That was the argument then. Like, will Toronto's depth outplay the one-man show that is LeBron? So a lot of these narratives, although they feel new because it's a new ingredient in the Heat and what they're doing, LeBron's faced all of this before, but the thing is, he loses. He has faced it all before, but more often than not, the numbers are there, he loses. But it's the pressure on LeBron, I'm sure it doesn't feel too different to him. It's just that it's massive. Because if he can go 4-6, win 3 titles with 3 different teams, 4th MVP, then it's like, well, he's right there. But if he loses, this is the swing series, I feel, in terms of where he will lay in his legacy and how strong his argument will be. That's probably obvious, but this is a podcast and we have to talk about it.
No, I agree. I think and you already kind of hear him laying the foundation for that. He's kind of pushing that narrative. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my professional career. It feels like we've been here for 5 years. Like, he's pushing that narrative that this bubble experience is so much harder than it looks, and that's the reason the Clippers aren't there, and that's the reason the Bucks aren't there, and that he, in the 17th season as a 35-year-old, has got himself to the finals once again. And we've said it before on this podcast, but as a 35-year-old in his 17th season, he is never going to have a better chance than this right now to win another ring.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Nets next year and the Golden State Warriors coming back and the Clippers getting another
Clippers
go at
revenge
it
tour.
And Giannis and the Bucks on looking for redemption, he is never going to have a better chance to win a ring as the best player on his team. Let's say that, because he could always ride the pine a few years when he's 43 and Bronny's taking him to some titles. But as the best player on the team, he's never going to get a better opportunity than this. He also has the benefit of ESPN having already dropped the MJ documentary. The Last Dance was supposed to drop NBA Finals time. Imagine what the conversation would be like if we were busy watching the MJ doco now and LeBron was about to go.
Your head would be spinning in terms of workload, my friend.
This would have proper stolen the limelight off LeBron. Like, this was actually such a crazy move from MJ. Like, yes, let's drop this right before the NBA final.
Crazy moves by MJ are on brand, my friend.
For real. Talking about MJ, you sent something to our Facebook group this morning, which I actually didn't watch because I wanted you to be able to explain it to me. I clicked on the link and I saw the title.
I think it's a conspiracy theory set up by Minnesota fans after he left Minnesota just to try and derail Jimmy Butler's career. But there is a suggestion out there, not made by me. There are YouTube videos out there. And they do the half face thing with MJ's half face, with Jimmy Butler's half face. And they kind of look similar, and the video kind of suggests that Jimmy Butler may be the son of Michael Jordan.
Is that it? Is that it just off the half face? There's no... No, it's... Are there facts? MJ was on the road in...
I mean, fake news spreads six times faster than real news these days. So I don't want to hype that flame too much. Like, I saw it kind of like funny, you know. But I don't know what Michael Jordan was doing in between games in 1988, so I can't rule it out. And a basketball player having an illegitimate child...
Wouldn't be the first.
No, it wouldn't. But, I feel funny talking about it. But, okay, the story
goes on. You feel funny talking about a conspiracy
theory. The YouTube video says that Jimmy Butler's mum actually kicked him out at 13 when the payment stopped from MJ.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now I understand why you feel touchy.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, I think he'd be... he'd probably have a more consistent jump shot and better under the ring if he was MJ's son. So, yeah, I'm not sold on that conspiracy theory. But, hey, if you're bored, you got an extra 5 minutes, have a look at some YouTube videos and decide for yourself, like I have, and I've decided that Jimmy Butler is not Michael Jordan's son.
He does have that, that anger about him and that fourth quarter takeover ability.
Yeah, hates losing.
So, you know.
A lot of teammates love him. A lot of teammates hate him. There's some parallels there.
There are some parallels, and maybe they'll both have NBA titles in a couple of weeks.
Oh God, I hope so.
I reckon that's where we're going to call it for this week. Obviously, we will be back for more to talk in the middle of the series. What all is going on? Harrison should be back from his Byron Bay holiday by then. Must be nice, Harrison.
Yeah, surely he'll be back. How long's he gone for?
Well, I figure once you go to Byron after working in COVID conditions for this long, you're probably don't want to come back.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be entirely shocked.
If we never saw Harrison again.
Yeah, and he kind of started, you know, posting like weirdly controversial takes on Facebook and stuff.
Okay.
Like as part of the weird...
That's my island usually, but...
You're normally in the comment section, not so much posting yourself.
Yes, I am poking many proverbial bears.
Yeah, but no, hopefully Harrison Pullinger is back in action. We will be back next week. Appreciate you guys listening to another episode. If you are fans of the pod, please leave a rating on iTunes and leave a review. It really does help. If you guys want us to keep pumping these out and for it to be the great product that it is, then give us some love, please.
Five star.
But that'll do us for this week, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Cheers, guys.